What's good, Internet, and welcome to Session 73 of Super GG Radio, where friends chat about video games and all things adjacent. I like big betas, and I cannot lie, your host, Alex Arona. With me this week, and until his contract runs out forever, my Nintendog, Joel DeWitt. What's good, Joel?
You know, Nintendog's really was onto something. I think they need a version with human babies, though.
I can get behind that. Soon, I will make that my own personal experiment. We'll see. Also with us this week is Mellow Monday streamer Eric Getty Gettinger. Thanks for subbing in, man.
I just hope I didn't rush. That was not chill at all. That wasn't mellow. Fuck that.
Dude, you're harshing everyone's chill here.
I know. I guess I have to take it out on you because I couldn't take it out on you on Monday. Damn. All right.
Oh, man. Yeah, you're harshing my mellow right now. So let's begin. This week, we talk some Vernal Edge in early adopters, hit some Ubisoft and Devolver forward news, and then get retro in the backlog blog. No time like the present, so let's get started. To early adopters, where we play alphas, betas, and games where you're just really pumped about playing before they came out. Also, Kickstarter games. Kickstarter games. I have to put that out there. We played Vernal Edge.
Define we.
At least two of us. That's for sure.
I played through the beta test for Vernal Edge entirely. Getty played a couple of minutes and then had the game constantly hard crash.
Yep.
Wow. Joel was aware of the game that it existed because I told him to.
I saw in the show notes. It was
Joel
there.
Was aware of the game. As to say, he heard about it somewhere.
I was playing adjacent to the beta test.
It's good. I like that.
Okay, so Vernal Edge goes back to a time, and I won't even say it goes that far back, but I will say it goes back to, harkens to Sega CD, Sega Saturn, 2D platforming, action adventure, hack and slash, you're platforming, attacking with a sword, you're a lady knight, and you do, you have a couple of moves here. You have your normal slash attack, which, you know, you can do combos with it. Or you have an ability that has a meter that charges up that you throw the sword, and once the sword is stuck in an enemy, you can then either retract the sword or any direction, and the button to throw the sword again will cause a super combo move where they'll jump forward and do like a bunch of slashes, or I want to say we'll do an upward smash. It does different things depending on your directional input. And then you have magic spells.
Magic spells. You have a charged attack, too.
Yeah, see, I didn't use it that much. I guess I should have.
I mean, that's what I was using for as far as I was able to get. The charged attack seems to knock the enemies down pretty effectively. Otherwise, you have to combo them.
I end up comboing them, but that meter goes down really hard. It's a real pretty pixel art game. Very smooth and fluid. It is kind of based on how you're supposed to be moving with a dash that gives you invisibility frames so you can't really get attacked, or a parry, which is, it just blocks the attack. It doesn't do anything else. It just blocks the attack entirely.
I didn't get to parry anything. Combat felt kind of heavy, though. Like, the swings that your character would take definitely had weight behind them. They weren't quick. The way that the character moves, I was expecting the strikes to be a lot quicker and not deliberate, I guess.
So I'm hearing a lot of talk about the combat, and
it's combat heavy, Joel.
Okay. but actually, was the platforming challenging at all, or was it something more like by the numbers, just something to have to jump across occasionally?
It depends on how far you go, because the combat in the, it's a early beta like demo, so they kind of gate you into combat arenas where they'll shut off any kind of exit and have to go through a couple waves of enemies. But outside of that, enemies were in the environment and I end up just dashing right past them. The combat or the platforming itself wasn't difficult, but there was a couple of puzzles that made it, you would hit a switch and you had to go back to a point in the map, but now there'd be walls in place, so you have to kind of know the different paths to go around the area within a time limit.
With the time limit? That reminds me of the old school Mega Man where you'd have to time your jumps and then eventually just quit because it was impossible.
The way the maps work in this game is that it will be an area where there will be like four different layers with different paths going up, down between these each level of layer. And that, you know, just like you could find little hidden paths to go, oh, I'm on the second floor, or I'm down in the third floor, down the fourth floor. But in that instance, you hit the switch, you have to make it all the way to the top of the first floor. But now there's walls strategically, so those little hidden paths are the way you have to use to avoid the walls that are closing in the most direct path, if that makes sense.
It was a long journey, but I think I followed you.
Okay.
I mean, it was a game. We played it. Well, Alex played it. I tried. I really was enjoying the music. It has a kind of, how to describe it, a catchy tune that it plays while you're exploring.
It was catchy. The music was catchy. It was very... It was
Alex like, there was music?
No, it was cool. It was very... chiptune-y.
Yeah.
But it kind of got a little bit more orchestral when there's a boss at the end, Getty. There's a boss.
All right, let's do this. I'll pack up my computer. Uh-huh. I'll drive over there. Mm-hmm. And then we can finish the podcast while I play it. But the catch is that I'm not putting on pants, so...
These are all agreeable arrangements.
All right. As long as we're all on board. Joel, you have to come too. How long does it take to get to Alex's from where you're at?
Well,
4 hours? 4 hours?
Yeah, four. There's no way in hell I'm leaving my house tonight.
Oh, damn.
Okay. So, Vernal Edge, the boss, he somehow got plant powers, and he's shooting vines at you and making rose bushes around that you have to dodge or smash, and... It actually gave me, it trained me to play the game at its own pace because I was trying to really engage quick. I'm like, oh, I got to get the combos in, got to hit them here as many times as possible. And that boss two-shot you. That was kind of the thing. He just had two hits and you were pretty much dead. So because of that, changing your tactic to be take two hits, get out, go back in, take two hits, wait for him to do his attack and miss, then go in two attacks and then get out. It kind of made me slow down and be more methodical with how I played it. And that's something that I kind of appreciated, was that it made me change my own play style to do something different.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. The way that I was able to play, the character is very quick, but again, the attacks aren't. So you have to be very strategic. If you're trying to go for that combo, it's a little bit quicker. But I was also using the like heavy strikes to knock down people. I would love to play more of it. Unfortunately, the version that I had, for whatever reason, was very bugged. But Alex tells me it's on Kickstarter.
It is.
And we were creeping on the price, too. If you want to back it, it's $20 to secure your copy of the game. Alex, did you happen to check to see how long the Kickstarter's available?
That one I did not. I didn't come up with a date.
Okay. I'm going to check that out here quick so that we can at least give the fans of the show that opportunity.
Yeah, because Vernal Edge, I think, is something worth checking out just as far as the art is concerned, as well as fluid motion, music. It's doing something very specific, and it does harken back to, you know, a Sega Saturn-style action platformer, giving you control and of these characters that have like very fluid motion, being able to play the game how you want. There's kind of a lot here that can be explored. At one point, you got a new spell, so you could cast a different spell. There's more to unlock, level up. There could be equipment. You know, there's a lot that is possible here, and that's kind of why I think that this one would be an important one to look at. So that was Vernal Edge. Getty, you're looking at the Kickstarter?
Like it's already closed. But it's backed.
Yeah. Yep.
So I feel like we kind of dropped the ball on that one, but usually they have a late backer kit. I do not I don't think I'm going to take the time to check it out just yet. But normally you can try and get in to support the game, and they have the same kind of deal, hopefully, in my experience.
Yeah. In your experience. I don't usually back You've Kickstarters, but
late backer?
Yeah. But you are an active backer.
I am. I have a bunch of stuff that I'm probably not even going to realize that I have until it arrives at my house. I think there's at least two or three games that I backed in the last year. One of them that I'm still waiting on a Switch code for, and another two that are like projected to be 2021 or 2022. So
as long as it's not a date, right?
It's like Christmas, man. You don't even realize it until you get an email. It's like, hey, here's the copy of your Steam key. Like, oh.
You know, that happened to me with the one Kickstarter game I did. I did Mutant Football League, and I backed it for the game, and it came with a shirt. I forgot about the shirt, and then it showed up like 2 weeks later. And I was like, oh yeah, I did back that thing. All right. But yeah, it was just crazy.
Do you ever just buy stuff on Amazon, and then you're just like pleasantly surprised? You're like, oh, something just arrived in the mail.
No. And no. That's the reason why I don't have an Amazon Prime. Lisa does.
I'll make sure not to give Kelly any ideas on that.
It's too late. That'd
be dangerous.
We're going to ship her a bottle of wine and your Prime account information.
I will send it via Amazon Prime.
Bill it to Jeff Bezos at, where does he go?
Amazon.com?
Yeah. Yes.
Jeff Bezos.
No, he's got a Gmail.
Oh, he's got a Gmail. Okay, fantastic.
What, you don't think so?
Okay. Oh, that seems like a silly question. Of course he did.
That's Alex is squatting on the URL.
Yahoo account.
What do you think? This is a Hotmail account?
Yeah, he's gonna tweet at me. Hey, Jeff Bezos, I got your Gmail. Let's do this. Cyber squat that shit. Okay, that was Vernal Edge. Now, Getty, you are The Last of Us.
I am definitely
also,
not.
As well.
As
you well. Are The Last of Us as well.
As well. So I'm not even going to pretend like we're doing spoilers here. I'm not doing any spoilers. I just
Wait,
wanted to...
Hold on. Did you ever go back and find that Easter egg with the Evil Within 2?
Of what?
With the titular line?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Did you ever hear about that, Joel?
No.
It's real dumb.
Please tell me.
If you go and backtrack to the beginning when you're pretty close to the end of Evil Within 2, he has a conversation with a coworker.
One of the guys is in the simulation or whatever the hell it is with you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the guy goes, I'm not going out there. There's evil out there. And the main character goes, there's also evil within, too.
And then they both look at the camera. Down. Yeah.
Oh, come on, really?
Yeah. That's why I said Getty is The Last of Us as well.
Yeah. Mm. So this isn't as much of I'm going to go through all of it as much as it's a check-in to let you know that before Steve left for his great journey, we dropped about 4 hours into The Last of Us 2.
Oh.
He had mentioned that it kind of changed his mind on it. Like, it seemed like he was more pumped on the idea and what they had done to the game. Because he'd initially, we have on our WordPress blog, a brief commentary on the post-apocalyptic world by Steve. And he discusses Last of Us and possibly a question as to why they would make, or if a sequel was even necessary. But after playing the game, he seemed like he was kind of more sold on it.
So I'm going to talk a little bit about stuff that happens that you're already aware of because, guys, we've all played it. It was one of our video game homework assignments. So at opening up to the game, there is the same feel. The mechanics have not changed at all, really.
Hmm.
You can now go prone with Ellie, but... Okay, so you guys remember the Sony press conference a couple of years ago where they did the whole scene in the church, the
right.
whole mm-hmm. opening. Okay, so they allude to it, but they don't explicitly show you it at the beginning of the game. So if you miss that, anybody out there, you want to go back and you want to watch that, because being like 4 hours in, they haven't like replayed it for you. So if you missed it, you need to see it in order for some of the plot to make sense. But if you're a fan of it, you're already going to know that.
Weird.
Otherwise, what can I say? So pretty close to the beginning, Joel does have a conversation with his brother about the end of Last of Us. So you now have two people that are up to speed on it. And even the comments that Joel makes, he's really not our Joel, obviously, but...
I actively hate anything that has my name in it because it's not common enough for me to be used to it, but it's just common enough to where I hear it. It's like nails on a chalkboard, just because I'm not used to it enough, like an Alex might be.
Well, that's the other thing. You say like an Alex might be, but in my entire, you know, tenure of being Alex now, I have met five other Alexes.
Really?
So, yeah, it's super rare to me. I where was I? I was somewhere in public, and someone called their kid Alex. Like, Alex, come here. And I was like, no. No, not me. Okay, not me, because... Swear to God, lady.
Well, it's funny that we should be even sidetracked on this conversation, but because of Alex, I don't even answer to Eric anymore. Like, I don't even know who that is, because he's never called me Eric, and I think in the 15-plus years that we've known each other.
Yep.
Daddy, do your coworkers call you Daddy?
No, and that's the weird thing, because I'll just be sitting there, like, going, and I'll be like, oh, I don't know who you're talking. Oh, me? Oh, God.
Okay, yeah. So we have two people who now know what's going on in Last of Us.
What had transpired. And there's a lot of stuff that they try and decompress right at the beginning, because obviously they now need to go and live with everybody else without, you know, really sharing what happened. So they were kind of like, they left and they were like, yeah, we're the last hope of humanity. And then for them to show back up and be like, oh, you know, it just didn't work out. It gives you I really wonder where the story's going to go. Mm-hmm. Not too long after that, you get control of another character that you did not previously have in the first game. And that character plays a different part. And I, like I said, I don't want to really go too much into it because I want you guys to also play the game and experience it. But you need to know that the story hits that bump and then it's go. So there's an event that happens pretty close to the beginning of the game. And I don't know if you guys have already read into it or you know what's going to happen, but it's it makes you want to go and play.
All right, but now, on a scale of 1 to 10, how depressed are you about this game?
Oh, it... So far, not... So, there's part of me that's mad. I won't discount that part. Depressed, I don't think I'm depressed. As the story goes on, I'll probably form more of an opinion about it. But so far, it's hooked me in. I definitely want to make it through. And... Mm-hmm. They've changed the mechanics just enough that it's a different experience. So if you remember when you had control of Joel in the original game, he would pick up the medicine and you would then be able to feed it into certain skills to upgrade it. Well, in this game, in this Last of Us 2, now there's multiple trees that you can unlock by finding like the training manuals that were present in the first one. So you get access to, like, a healing tree to start, but you can find a combat book. So then you can feed your medicine into those branches and make it a little bit more interesting. You don't have to follow one branch. You can take multiple branches.
Okay.
And, of course, they still have the gun upgrades. They flared that up a little bit. Whenever you make a modification to a gun, like, she'll tinker at the workbench and, like... I think we were updating a pistol, and we're giving it more ammunition, like more rounds. So she takes it and she like files down the bottom of the gun. And Steve was like, that doesn't seem really necessary. But it looked cool. And style always counts in video games.
I hear the sound effects are really good of them tinkering.
Yeah. And, you know, the clickers, I still have nightmares.
Yeah.
Because what they do is they're like, oh, you should go check out this room. Like, all right, you drop down and instantly you're like, oh, god damn it. Because just like five clickers like appear out of nowhere.
It's that same thing they do in Tomb Raider where they'll give you the faintest bit of gore in it too before they cut away. You know, it's like just enough to give you that sort of cringy feel before they cut out.
This is some of the stuff that happens in the course of the story is very, very gory. Like I'm surprised by how little of the punches that they pulled on this. One more thing before we wrap up this part, because I know that you guys really want to talk about video game homework, but there are parts, at least so far, if you remember towards the end, they open up Last of Us into kind of like a more of an explorable area. In Last of Us 2, they present you with this area and you can explore around and it'll like hit little marks on the map where you could potentially go to explore, or you could find clues that will lead you to another area that like a stockpile will be at, or you might find additional resources or information about the story. It's really kind of neat how they played with that. So you could just try and plow right through the story. Or if you're like me, I'm going to go through all those different beats to, you know, experience the guitar solos that you can play along with try and maximize my resources. I don't like to be caught flat-footed.
I kind of like that there's a way to like play the guitar, and people have been making their own little videos of, you know, like, oh, I'm gonna play, like I saw Mark Hoppus play Damn It and sing along with Ellie controlling the guitar. So yeah. I thought that was kind of neat.
No, it's a really neat thing. Was it necessary? No. Does it add a different element to the story? It definitely. It actually makes the characters more human, if that makes sense. Because they were just murder hobos in the first one.
Is there a photo mode? And do they let you take selfies in it?
I feel like there is a photo mode, but I don't take selfies, so...
You're no fun.
I know. What do you think this is? Life is Strange?
Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah. No, that was a really good photo mode.
Yeah, I hear that this photo mode's pretty impressive, from my understanding. So you're pretty pumped on Last of Us 2, you think, and you're going to knock this one out and come back and say, I murdered so many dogs.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to say that I murdered so many people, but I don't know that I'm going to hate it. You know, normally when I play games, I try and do like the path of the least amount of violence. But in this one, you know, there's not really too much of an option for that. You are forced into situations where you're going to have to fight to survive.
You're not Hartwig, huh?
No. Yeah,
or you have to go full Hartwig on this.
No, I'm not ever going to go full Hartwig on anything.
I kind of started using that.
That sounds painful, too. Go full Hartwig.
Get a minigun. That's how he plays Last of Us.
Yeah. Flamethrower everything.
Well, speaking of flamethrowering everything, that's not really a segue for anything.
No, that was terrible. No. But then again, I didn't write one, so good luck with that.
It's okay. It's okay. But flamethrowing everything, let's take a break, and we'll be right back with the news. I am going to watch Hartwig flamethrow everything while they're playing Divinity Original Sin 2.
That's good.
You're back.
¶¶
Day news. I just flew in from Virginia, and boy, are my arms tired.
You know why my arms are tired?
Why?
From carrying this podcast.
Dude, you're carrying all the energy today. Literally flew in from Virginia at 5 in the morning.
He ain't lying.
All right, so news. This week, the big ones were the Not E3 press conference. I'm always going to call it Not E3.
Not E3.
Not 3.
Not 3. Not 3 2020?
How's that sound, Joel?
I what?
Not 3 2020.
No.
No?
No.
How about 3 2020?
Better?
3?
3, yeah. Because it didn't happen. Get it?
Ubisoft Forward event.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That was
Ubisoft. That
was a labored effort. Wow.
I know. So the big one was Far Cry 6 with Giancarlo Esposito.
Looks cool.
You like yourself some Breaking Bad.
He was great in Breaking Bad.
They did a pretty good. Did you watch the trailer, Joel? Because it looks like him really, really well.
I did not see the trailer, but I saw the art. For the like the key art that they use for pictures for articles and stuff, yeah, he looks good. And it, you know, I trust that they chose a good actor for a role like that. But like, I guess for prior Far Cries, did they show the antagonist too much throughout the game?
You don't.
What do you mean?
Get to see them too much? Like you encounter them. I think it started with
You see them in the beginning, and then they antagonize you throughout minimally.
Okay. So it's one of those things where it's like it's some nice star power that they're throwing behind it, but it seems kind of like a crazy path to go down.
It seems like the same kind of thing that Call of Duty does. They get like mm-hmm. that big name, and then they just put them into the game, and they go from there. Like. Crap. There were a couple.
Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
The guy from
Law and Order.
Was Law and Order.
Yeah. SVU.
I guess it made sense for the immediacy of like box art. You're able to put his face on it, you know.
So that's the thing about the Far Cry series is that, yeah, they give you that protagonist right up front. And there needs to be some sort of varying amount of charisma mm-hmm. to kind of drag you along with it. I can't remember who it was in 2, because that 2 is the one I haven't played in the longest time. But Voss was very eccentric and kind of wild, even though he didn't end up being the main protagonist. And he was the guy on the cover, of course. And 4, Pagan Min was very like... kind of rich, high air, above it all.
Mm-hmm. But was he actually a bad guy?
Well,
I mean, except being a dictator, and I don't know. I felt more threatened by the big bad in Far Cry 5. Like cults are real, man.
Yeah, and also Voss was very, very like knifing people, very, very like without questions. Like, oh well, this guy's got to die. Pagan Min was just. He was like, oh, I'm just doing the lesser of two evils. And then at the end, you know, you had to pick 2 factions, and it was, oh, this was a freedom fighting force that end up, you know, using black tar heroin to stop the, you know, just selling black tar heroin to fund their freedom force, or the government, which was using child rebel soldiers. It was kind of like, they're all kind of bad.
Nobody's right. But
yeah, so this will be another one of those, and, you know how Far Cry goes.
I will play this game.
I will play this one. I took a break. Far Cry 5 was my break.
It's fine, Alex. I'll beat it for you.
Please.
Just like every other game.
And then I'll put it on my beat list.
Stop with the beat list. It still sounds so bad.
Okay. Next piece from the Ubisoft press conference that kind of stuck out was Tom Clancy's Elite Squad. It was a cartoony version of Rainbow Six Siege characters.
Yeah, it had that Fortnite look to it.
I think it's a phone game.
Is it really?
I think so.
I don't know any of these things. Like, When I see Tom Clancy stuff, I don't think of it to be as cartoony as this game looked. But then again,
yeah,
I think of like Splinter Cell. So,
but did you play The Division 2? Most of that is unlocking dances and getting cool psychedelic straight brim hats.
I did play The Division 2.
Yeah, that's what you're unlocking. I watched Steve unlock one of those, like a Dropbox of loot, and in it he got a gas mask that looked like they were just vaping weed out of the gas mask.
Sweet.
It was green smoke. It was a thing.
All right.
Yep. So those are the two ones that kind of stuck out to us. Also, news for this, Ubisoft will do another one of these.
Great.
So, yep, that's the thing. Well, you know what? The one thing missing from this event that I was kind of surprised about was I'm pretty sure that it's probably time for them to do something with Rabbids again, right? That's like do. Oh, I mean, they had a successful cartoon, right?
The minions of video games, yeah.
So then the other one, which is a must-have, and I was disappointed because I was waiting for it the entire time, Just Dance.
Yeah, you're really into that. You and Beth, that's your go-to game,
right?
See, I can't
tell if you're really serious about it because it's Just Dance.
Dude, it's fun. It's fun. It's a thing. It's surprising how well that series works, how the controllers work, how that whole thing works. It's just like the Kinect. Was it that 360 yeah. Kinect? Like, that's a whole thing.
Don't you actually your Wii Fit or not your Wii Fit? Your Ring Fit. Your Switch. Ring Fit.
Ring. I got to get back into it. I think I'm going to start it up. No. So I want to see that dabbing panda again. That's mainly what I want to see. I want that dabbing panda. I just dabbed on screen.
We know what dabbing is. Thank you for sharing.
Okay. Next, Devolver had their digital E3 event. We're going to call it E3.
E3.
Yeah, I'm good with that. No, that's fine. It's fine.
The Devolver digital event, they talked about Carrion, which we talked about on this podcast. Fall Guys, we have not talked about that game yet.
We will. Because
we can't. Shadow Warrior 3, Serious Sam 4, and new indie IP, Olija, O-L-I-J-A. Looks kind of neat. Looks kind of a little like Vernal Edge, 2D platforming action attack combat.
It kind of looks cool. Like Ouija to me.
It does look like Ouija a little bit, yeah. But or Ouya, you know. That's another thing.
Cursed Ouija. Items either way.
The Ouya. All right, so those were the games that came out with the Devolver Digital event. I'm kind of excited because Carrion is coming out this month, Fall Guys next month, I want to say. And those are two indie IPs that I have my eye on that seem like they could be a lot of fun.
Man, I already got Carrion installed on my computer. I just can't play it.
Nice. Yep, Xbox Game Pass.
Yep, and Game Pass is blocking me so hard.
Oh, yeah. Carrion's definitely the standout to me. I don't have familiarity with Shadow Warrior or Serious Sam outside of it being a first-person shooter, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a first-person shooter. It is very story-based, but the way the characters are and the way the gameplay is, it's very Borderlands. I think, like, Getty and Steve would like it, but it's not multiplayer. It's not, you know, open world. It's very straightforward, but the art, the characters, the way the guns are, everything gets neon and, you know, call these colors, and there's cartoonish, you know, dubstep. Mm-hmm. At least that's my understanding of Shadow Warrior.
Dubstep.
You love dubstep. You shut up.
I will shut up.
Okay. So, again, the Devolver Digital event. One thing that came with it, Joel, was they released another game. Devolver game.
Oh, really?
That is a faux E3 show floor. And
oh, yeah, I heard about that. Yeah.
You can walk around and then watch trailers for their games that are coming out.
I kind of love that. I think that's exactly the kind of dumb they should be, leaning towards. It's just like the absurd, surrealist, and it dips just a tiny bit into like the uncomfortably real right now.
Yeah.
You know, this, you know, I heard somebody, was this one of you guys saying, like, we're living in Ready Player One right now.
Yep.
Uncomfortable.
Devolver Land Expo, that's what it's called.
Apparently the Devolver Land game has the E3 press conference show floor in alarmingly accurate detail. They say it's pretty good. So, Joel, if you ever want to take a look at it, that you could see some trailers and explore the E3 show floor.
And it's free for download on Steam, so.
$3.99?
$3.99!
Okay, so one other piece of news I didn't have on our docket here, but it came up more recently. Microsoft has announced that they are connecting Game Pass to xCloud. Is that it, right,
Joel? Yes. Yeah, that's right.
So for one subscription, you can play xCloud, which is their streaming service, and Game Pass, which I kind of talked with you, Joel, about this, that the Game Pass has been such a good buy for me. Like, it just, the quality is there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got Stadia, and Stadia, we just regretted that from the jump. But Game Pass has been nothing but impressive the entire way. And I've been paying for it, you know, getting these discount codes, finding coupons, getting the cheaper rate. But throw in xCloud, I don't think I need the coupon cut anymore. I think that it's already justifying the price, and that's just a cherry on top of something extra that really speaks to me in a way. Mm-hmm. You know, we were testing out xCloud, and I was playing Halo on my phone with an Xbox controller paired to it via Bluetooth. And it was playable. It was fine. It did what it needed to do. And I could see a lot of merit there, and I could see that the quality is there. It seems like a complete package to me.
I sort of agree with you. Like, I agree with you that the strategy is sound, and I'm sure that there's lots of people like you who will get a lot of value out of it. My experience with the stuff, when I'm intentional about, like, I know there's something on Game Pass explicitly that I want to play, I will make good use of it. When it is something where, like, I don't know what to play, I don't always think to look on my Xbox. I mean, part of the problem this generation for me is that, like, Xbox is not my default systems. It was PS4. Lately, it's been Switch. And I had a brief affair with my PC. But, you know, the subscription plans are just something that I'm not quite, like, plugged into enough where it feels natural to go to that home. I'm not programmed, you know, to think that way with my games yet.
I think that there are certain levels of where I'm comfortable with the quality of it. So, for instance, we don't pay for Netflix. We use it a friend's account, and I haven't actively decided, like, I should just get my own because I don't use it enough to feel like it justifies a case.
Sure.
But things like Hulu and Spotify, and now obviously Game Pass, it's with xCloud attached to it, it's just more for me to feel comfortable. And even Getty's on Game Pass now, and each time he's like, I got like 4 games installed, Game Pass is pretty good, and I beat this other game, and I beat this other game, and it's like, oh, you're just...
We had a conversation earlier, and it was not like that.
Getty doesn't enjoy games. He just consumes them.
No, I enjoy them.
What was the new one you beat that I hadn't heard of?
Actually, that was installed on my computer for like 4 months before I got a chance to play it. Between the Gardens Between.
Okay.
It was really nice. It was a cute game. We can talk about it another day.
Yeah, I think I'm going to pick it up so I can
play it. I really recommend it. Not that that's this segment, because we're still in the news, but...
Well, I mean, again, that'll be my own personal homework. But for right now, let's take a break and go into the Backlog blog, where we will be talking about our video game. Be right back. Backlog. we're back. Back with the Backlog Blog, where we play video games that turn out to be punishment. Joel, you assigned us Night Trap.
Punishment is a little harsh, I think.
Did you love this game? And me and Getty were very unhappy with
playing it. I had to solicit help from my wife.
I apologize in advance for the clock here.
Nice.
It'll be an Easter egg for the 5 followers we have. I wouldn't say that I loved it. I would say that I appreciate parts of it. Like, the 80s camp tone of the whole thing is nostalgia bait for me in a way that it wouldn't have been in the past. And, just some of the absurdism of what happens throughout the different sequences and as you're setting traps and stuff, is just the awful acting is hammy in a way that is unintentionally funny.
We played, we played that more modern FMV game.
Not for broadcast.
Let me think about it. Trap. I gotta find it. But we played
Last Call. No.
I found it for a second and then I lost it again. The Complex.
Okay.
We played The Complex, a modern FMV game, came out this year. And then we played Night Trap. And the entire time, Steve kept saying, I don't know, The Complex's acting is real cheesy and stupid. And then we played Night Trap and he's like, oh, God damn it, this is the worst.
You're really.
So the acting wasn't bad before.
Yeah. The acting. It's really campy, and was it 25 years ago? This game's 25 years old. Like, I get it. And the attire of the people, like, just let's take a moment to appreciate that we don't dress like that anymore.
I kind of liked it because, again, I just thought it was funny that, like, it's like, oh, girl sleepover, and then, like, one dude comes out, like and there's, like, oh, there's some boys here, too, and he's wearing what looks to be a suit coat and a pop collar, but then there's one kid in, like, a baseball shirt and a backwards hat, and they're, like, best friends, and I'm like, why is that guy wearing a suit coat?
This game came out in the early 90s, but it's clear that it was, like, at the turning point where people's styles were mid-shift. So it's, like, the 80s on some people, the 90s on some people, and others are, like, this weird mishmash of both.
Yeah. So that's kind of – we're kind of going to the style right now and just kind of focusing about the acting, which was always kind of – for me, it made me laugh at certain points when – Well, the story is that you're an agent for
the D team.
For the SCAT team. The SCAT team. That's a bad acronym.
Please tell me that's what it was.
Yeah, it was a SCAT team. And you are to control traps in a house to stop and save these rowdy teens in this house who are there for the weekend. And I remember at one point, there, you have like an inside man. You have a lady who is part of the SCAT team, but she's acting like a teen. And there are times when she literally just goes, use the traps. It's like, son of a bitch, I've been doing it the whole time. I've been using the traps. You saw me use traps. Don't tell me to use the traps like I hadn't done. I'm using the traps, lady. She said it like 4 times,
too. Yeah, because she wanted you to use the traps. But can we take a second to like decompress like, what is actually going on with this story? Because, yes, you're this operator, you're controlling all of these traps, but in, like, the pre-sequence to the game, it's like this creepy guy that's controlling the traps, and he's like, ah, ha, 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 like, trapping all the teenagers. It has nothing to do with the actual game. And then once you're in the game, like, you come across these scenes or through the course of, like, at certain minute markers, because this whole game is a race against time. So at certain minute markers, there will be an event happening in a room, and you have to navigate over to that room. And if you don't go to where the story is happening, like, you miss. Like, you could play this game without getting
swaths.
Any of the story. Like, you don't to. I think that's my grievance with the game, because I want to know what's going on. At one point, a kid pulls out, like, a laser gun, and he's shooting, and I don't know where he got it from, and what effect it has. It's cool, but then, guys, vampires?
That was the big, you went to the big twist here. Turns out that you're like, you're not saving the teens from terrorists. You're saving the teens from vampires.
But is that who all of the people in the garbage bag clothing are? They're vampires?
Yes. Yes. And it was funny because whenever they are sneaking around, which they're sneaking real, real stupid, like arched back on their tippy toes, real stupid. But like some of them have guns, but then some of them have a claw thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I can tell you right now because I've messed.
Yeah. Please.
So the claw thing, I messed up a couple times. What happens is that the claw thing goes around someone's neck and inside the claw is another like tube that stabs their neck and drains them of blood.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's what the vampires were doing, because I made a couple mistakes and key characters got the claw.
I thought you did the perfect run.
Well, I mean, again, that perfect run took me like 4 to 10 tries.
4 to 10 tries? God.
And that was with the walkthrough in front of you. And
that was you're like, full
I've got
walkthrough.
All the instructions. Yeah, yeah. These airtight windows. And then, like, the controls, you know, Daddy, you mentioned you're going from room to room, but, like, you're not. It's not like a 3D space. It's like a menu, and you've got the TV in front of you that's showing the main screen of what you're watching, then 8 boxes in the left-hand corner that you have to tile through and know which room is which you're trying to go to without any labeling or anything.
Yeah. And if you don't know where something's going to be, it, like, things escalate quickly.
Yes.
You're like, oh, I only let 2 of the bad guys in. And then 30 seconds later, it's like, there's 14 of them, and you've caught 2, and you're like, what are you talking? Where are they? Unless you know exactly where they are, you're screwed.
And not only that, but like the window is really small with hitting the trigger right. Because it's like a red beeping light, and then you have to be timing this marker in the middle that is turning red. Did you have to hit it right when it hit red?
No, you could hit it when it was yellow, and it would still engage the trap.
Okay. Your window end up being roughly half a second.
Yeah. But not only that, but like throughout this game, the characters in the game will have dialogue explicitly like breaking character and talking to you, saying like, the code is now going from red to purple. And then you've got this swatch of 4 or 5 different colors that the code could be that you have to have on when you're triggering the traps. Otherwise, it won't go.
Dubbing.
Hold on. No, yeah. So that wasn't initially in the game. Yeah.
Oh, really?
In the original. So they wanted to add another level of difficulty. So you can't always do the traps because they will change the code on you and you have to hear the code. So that's number one. My problem kind of with the game is that the fail states are just so like it happens a lot, because there are some traps that if you miss, you've auto fail.
Yeah.
And then there are also the fact that when they change a code, if you're not on that window seeing them change the code, then you cannot handle it. You can't use the traps anymore. And for you to test out if you have the right code, I'm going to click a random color.
There's like
7 colors, and you got to go, all right, now we're red. Oh, here's a guy trap. No, it's not that color. Okay, purple. Okay. So it becomes like a big hassle. But the other part was, whenever they do, they're like, okay, let's go to the basement. And then it just changes audio. Like the audio quality change and goes, we should probably change the code to purple.
Right.
And it's randomized. They recorded these different messages because it's random. I've done it and lost and then come back, and when that message, it was different again.
And that part was evil because, like, Kelly and I did give it an honest try about 3 or 4 times here, and we were getting the hang of it. It was fun in its own strange way. Like, it feels like a carnival ride, or like a carnival one of those barkers that sell you tickets and then you can't win a game. it's like you're playing whack-a-mole with these things, and I don't know. It's just I lost my train of thought there. I'm sorry.
No, that's the thing, is that we all kind of gave it an honest try because we're like, we'll could figure this out. This ain't so bad. And I think we spent an hour just playing. We got 8 minutes in, and be like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing, because I'm trying to do the thing and I'm capturing people, but yeah, there are so many key like traps that need to be set. There's so many like superfluous ones that are there for you to get, you know, bonus points, and at the end they even say you could probably do better because you missed a couple.
What this game needs is checkpoints. Like that alone would make it a lot more playable, and that's something I'm asking for way too early on in gaming history to provide something like that, since it was
this actually does have a checkpoint.
Yeah, well, at like wait, 13 it does. Minutes.
At the halfway point.
Oh, so I didn't get there then.
But it's still fine, because it's just that's the like the first auto fail state is like 4 minutes in. So it's 13 minutes is not it's not easy to get to.
Yeah. Okay.
And so it's the game needs more checkpointing for sure.
Man.
Yeah, there. You know, it also was kind of tricky. Those traps that the traps are fun because it's very cartoonish. You'll see like two plates of glass slide up and capture somebody, or a door will open and then the wall will shove them down this sliding thing, and they're always like, ooh,
going down the stairs, and then it suddenly turns into a big slide and slides them into a pit of smoke.
So I did like that. Which was your favorite trap, guys?
Oh,
the roof catapult was pretty good.
That was pretty good.
Just catapult people off the roof.
Yeah, the in the hallway when they trap in between two glasses, and then the smoke comes out and turns red, and they're sitting there with like miming like they're.
I'm stuck. You
know,
oh.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it doesn't even look like they're dying or in danger. It's just like I'm trapped, and then just stay there.
I think mine was the bed. The bed was my favorite because it would like flip them out the window.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There was a bathroom one where
the wall would, it would be like a hidden wall. It would just like the wall would flip. Right. Like, where did they go?
It was so stupid because it was like the smallest corner of the bathroom. Like, what are you doing? Oh,
these traps were very specific, Eddie.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, so what I was going to say is that what was also interesting is that while you have these traps, and I said like some of them can auto fail, also capturing will, like, if you just capture willy nilly, will also cause an auto fail, because there are, I want to say, at least 4 points in the story where they give you the prompt and you're not supposed to do it.
Oh, yeah, the squad members will infiltrate the house and they'll be dressed up as the bad guys. So if you capture one of them, it auto fails you.
Yeah. Or there's one instance where a teen is being captured and you're supposed to wait for the teen to kind of fight off the enemy and then escape. Because if you do, it only traps, if you do it early, it just traps the teen, and then they just go, you were supposed to save everybody. This is entirely your fault.
Yeah, it is your fault.
It's like brutal.
I feel bad.
Yeah, it's but in the same way, it's kind of funny how these ideas have been, you know, toyed around with and implemented in some ways. There's definitely elements of this in what we have in QuickTime events now in games. So the idea of having these short windows where you have to jump on the right spot in order to trigger it to be allowed to move forward in the game is inherent in there. Mm-hmm. I mean, the you know, having to keep track of multiple things at once, broken storytelling, you know, all stuff in modern day gaming too.
The story is the vampires I didn't see coming, so it definitely made me laugh.
which that's surprise. That's funny to me because the box art has vampire heads in the background.
But they're like, oh, really? Classical Draculas.
Right. But it looks so campy and dumb that you're kind of like, oh, it's just old crappy video game box art where they just took clip art and then mirrored it all together onto one picture, you know, like collage.
I don't see any vampires on this cover.
There's vampires.
But
or maybe it's on the Switch icon.
Oh, yeah, there
icon.
It is. Yeah, the original. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Okay. It does do like a half decent job, because again, I played it so many times trying to get this ending. In the very beginning, the parents parents are when they see the kids, they say, "Oh, this looks like it's going to be a delectable evening." And I was very uncomfortable. Like, they're staring at a group of teen girls going, "Ooh,
oh yeah,
this will be fun."
And then they turn to each other, and the guy looks like he's going to literally eat her face. Like, he opens his mouth, unhinges his jaw, like he's going to eat her.
Yeah, he's, like, going for a kiss, and it's, like, open mouth.
Yes.
But if you take it, what they're trying to say is they're vampires, and they're going to eat everybody, and they're excited they're going to eat everybody. So it's like, oh, okay, they were, you know, there was foreshadowing in the 90s.
That's not true.
So that was kind of cool. I'm trying to think about what else this game brought to the table.
The best part of the game, you forgot it. The song.
What's the best part of the game? It's not even at the end.
The Night Trap song.
No, but there's a scene where the girls are having a dance-off, but they're dancing to the Night Trap theme song.
That is it. That song. Worth it for the 79 cents that I paid for this game.
I was going to say, this wasn't a heavy lift for you guys.
No, I'm not at all. But just, I was frustrated because if we're talking about we got this game 25 years ago, if we're not sitting there and finding all the timestamps, you're not going to make it through this game, like, without some type of guide, some type of help. Because there's just too many instances where if you don't know where to look or you don't know the trick to it, you're going to have to go back and try it again. And I get it. It made it more challenging back then. It made it challenging today. It's just I want a game that is not going to, you know, flip me the middle finger the second I boot it up. But I guess that's your Dark Souls games now.
Well... Again, without having the sensibilities that it would have of a modern-day game, I think that you could go and have just a couple more checkpoints, a little bit more of a
tutorial
emphasis on where to kind of go with those cameras, some sort of hints, because especially when they get those codes going or like they're going to change a code, you miss that, you're done. So
you would have had to sit there and made a list of all the rooms that you go to. Or I'm sure that there was a Prima strategy guide that you could have dropped $25 on at the same time you picked up the game.
But the kicker is that wasn't atypical of its time, right? It's been the way it's been in that way. So, like, I don't know that... It's fair to critique that in modern sensibilities, but, like, for the time it came out, it was so common that you get dropped in with no instruction that you have to read the instruction booklet that came with the game that didn't understand any of the controls at all. And so I think people were conditioned a little differently in that way. But I do agree it's a harder ask now to be asking people to, like, okay, now you're going to play this one game, you're going to play it over and over again, and then by rote memorization, you're going to figure out what room and when.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there are games, you know, like, say, a Fez, where it requires you taking notes, you know what I mean? You're taking a notebook, you're filling it with patterns and trying to figure out puzzles. So that would be kind of the game. This would be, like, if we... did not have these perfect run guides, we'd end up making one.
Yeah. Right, but also the cheapness of games now compared to back then, and also like the purchasing power of you as a 12-year-old versus you as a 30-something-year-old.
Whose 12-year-old was playing this back then?
Oh, why do you think this game made it to Congress?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know what? I would try to play this game as a 12-year-old. Yeah. Those girls would have been hot to me as a 12-year-old.
You know how difficult it would have been for you to get to the parts where it's like, ooh, girls.
How determined of a 12-year-old were you?
Right. I think you'd give up and find something else. The Sears catalog.
There we go. So Night Trap as a whole, I feel like, was a very... It was good that we went back and looked at it and tried to see where video games came from, FMV games in general. This game, Getty, you said kind of the punishment... kind of was where it was hitting you hard when it would you know, give you the finger and just give you the game over. But for me, it definitely fits the same kind of mold as, what, a Dragon's Lair?
Yeah.
You know, you ever played Dragon's Lair?
I could see that.
Yeah, where you're just kind of hoping for the best and trying to hit the right button prompts at the right time. Otherwise, it, again, instant game over.
Well, even with the correct button prompts, it doesn't mean that you made the right choice to begin with.
Yeah, exactly.
It's Dragon's Lair, though.
Now, that acting, though, that's still in my head when I'm thinking is, like, watching those characters. Like, the there's at one point where the inside, yeah, the inside agent talks to you, and she's like, okay, keep watching out for everybody. And then she, like, looks around and goes, I'll be right back, wink, and then, like, walks away. Mm-hmm. And then as she leaves, you see two of the vampires walk up the stairs, and you're like, okay, you're getting ready to trap. And the vampires just give a high five. And
yep.
Say, what?
Or
what
where she gives that? You a clear, like, thumbs up at the camera to you at near the end in the last sequences where she's just trying to escape and stuff. It's just the – yeah, it's off the charts hokey.
I like that, though. And it was
– well, it's part of its, it's part of its charm for its time, right? Like –
even in the intro, they give you a debriefing, and it's the SCAT team doing a briefing, and then they go, okay, so who's going to be in charge of the camera? And they go, him, or them, them. Mm-hmm. And they point to the camera, and they go, who's that? And he goes, Special Forces. And they're like, okay, I guess he can handle it. They're really, like,
real cheesy.
Pointing to, yeah, they're well, not in that. They're just more, like, including you in a way that makes me kind of happy because, mm-hmm. you know, you're there. It, but also... I have a question about the SCAT team and why they would not know who I am as a player and then just be like, well, we were told that he's a special agent. That's probably fine.
Probably like, fine. Stars.
Just went along with it.
Yes.
Yes.
No.
Yes. Night Trap. It's historical.
It's a trap.
Don't look behind you, Night Trap. That's one of the lyrics from the theme song.
Very nice.
Do we have to give it a score?
Yes.
Are you going to make us grade it?
Now, how did we do this? I can't even remember. It's been a while since we've done video game homework.
We sort of took the fighting game metrics, so like S down to, what, D, okay. F?
And then you yelled at us.
Well, Joel, you assigned it. Let's you start off with the grading.
You know, I think my generous score would be a C.
Okay.
And I only say that – I say that with the understanding of, you know, how games used to be this dated and it's kind of a product of its time. And the fact that, like, for the price range that we paid for it, the whopping $1 we paid for it, it provided Kelly and I several hours of laughing at it and just having a really great, silly time with something really campy and dumb. So, like, there's a lot to not take seriously and laugh about with it.
So what did you give it?
I said C.
C? Okay. Did you black out?
I spaced on that one. See, that's funny enough, that's way, like, that's lower than I would have given it.
Really?
I'm going B on it. Not that it's a good game, but I think that there's enjoyability there. Watch it. Like if I'm going to look at when we're done, I'm going to try to find the supercut of just the story scenes, and I'm going to sit down with Beth, and we're going to watch it, and it's going to be funny. But also going along with that. I feel like the historical significance of Night Trap being one of the earlier, not the earliest, obviously, but earlier FMV games and something that brought video games a little bit more into the adult era and being a reference point. Also, Sega CD, which was around the generation that I was most fond about. You know, that's where I was. I was Sega and Sega CD and 32X and all that stuff. So I have a lot of fondness there, so I'm giving it a B.
Our scoring system is meaningless.
Yeah, it really is.
Entirely.
I guess all scoring systems are meaningless, though.
Getty, what do you say?
A C. Same kind of logic as Joel. It was a little campy. The price was right. Is this my genre of game? No. Do I think that the premise is ridiculous? Yes. If I had many, many hours to play it, and I could have written down, like, all of the time prompts, maybe. but I feel like I still ended up missing a bunch of the story even with the playthroughs that I did. So unless I went back and I did it perfectly or meticulously, I'm not going to get everything that I want out of it. So for that, I give it a C.
I'll find the supercut for you, though, just so we can watch
Alex, it. I think that that was one of the freebies that came with this 25th anniversary. I didn't explore the bonus menu, but it seemed like it had, like, story production things that they did. I think it might be there. You should okay. Check it out.
I'll take a look. It's still on my Switch, still running.
I deleted it to make room for another game that you had me buy this week.
Oh, I thought that was, like, a legitimately, like... I deleted this game because fuck Night Trap.
No, just because I needed some space.
Okay. So that was Night Trap, our video game homework. I'm going to assign another video game homework. This is a surprise for my co-hosts here because I am springing this on them. But I'm going to give this a generous, I'll give it a month or month and a half.
2 months when we can and one quarantine. Turn this in.
Yes, because this is a game that I don't expect you guys to beat. Not because it's hard, but because it's run-based. It's not a game that is as significant, but it is something that a game that did something different and is a precursor to a game that we all liked. We are going to play FTL.
Fair enough.
For anybody involved on Game Pass. I just bought it on my iPad.
I believe it's on iPad because I got that there as well. So I'm yep. eager to try this. This is the one that the makers of Into the Breach are behind, right?
Yes. And if you play FTL, you'll see its inspirations elsewhere in things like, you could see the inspiration in Nowhere Prophet as well. So, I mean, just playing you could see it in Void Bastards. You can see the FTL inspiration, the way the map is and stuff like that. So, and there are tons of knockoffs of FTL in the way that it plays. So give it a shot. We'll play a couple rounds over time in the next couple weeks and then bring it right back to talk about it. So that was our video game homework. I'm pretty pumped. That was fine. I had a lot of fun. And that theme song, me and Steve were singing it aloud for quite some time.
That song was it. That's all I needed.
Okay, let's move on to one last thing. One last thing where we give one last sentence, one last statement, sending us into the weekend and you, the listener, into the weekday. For me, I'm excited waiting for Carrion to hit Game Pass. That's me and Getty discovered that it was on Game Pass, and you can download it and install it early. So that's what I'm going to be doing right after this.
I feel like I discovered that.
You did. And then you informed me, and it was a discovery that I also shared. Joel?
Okay.
Guys, I'm going to allow myself a break here for a little bit and finally get back to Final Fantasy VII. the game which I got through the first mission said that was great and then put down because of, you know, life, all this. So wish me luck and wish me luck especially to actually stick to it this time.
It's good. You'll enjoy it. Just takes time. Getty, one last thing.
Oh, it would have been so awesome if you'd forgotten. I will finish Persona 5. I will platinum Persona 5 Royal this weekend. I'm going to do it.
Just gives me a headache thinking about it.
It's not that bad.
When you have to say it's not that bad, I feel like it's bad.
But I want you to know that my characters are like level 92. It's so solid.
It's just OP.
I kill everything.
Fantastic, Eddie. You OP'd that game. And that will be it for this week's Super GG Radio. Before we go, you can find us on Twitter at Super GG Radio and twitch.tv/SuperGGRadio, where we have streams, 2D Tuesday, Keeping It Together, Metal Gear Friday, Magic Sunday, Wild?
No, it's just Kevin's random stream. Yeah. It doesn't have a name.
It's called Wild Redemption. Redemption. That's what it's called. Yeah.
No, don't. If you name it, it gives it power.
Don't legitimize it.
Yeah.
Getty, I was going to ask, did you enjoy Mellow Mondays, and would you like to continue that time slot, or are you want me to take it back over?
I think the next couple of weeks I'm working from home, so I could probably do it. I don't know if I'm going to stick to the 9 p.m. start time. I might move it up and do like 8 to 9.
Yeah, it's up to you. Whenever you want to.
Play some more Dragon Quest Builders 2 and build with stuff in the sand.
Okay, then we could do Mellow Mondays, and I could do something random on a Wednesday.
Ew. Wednesdays.
If you'd like to reach us with questions or input, our email address is superggradio@gmail.com. Provide a review on iTunes or the Night Trap refund of your choice. Thanks for listening. GG Joel.
Dear Dane.
GG Getty.
GG.
Good night, everybody. Check it.